Welcome to a special supplementary episode of Gallifrey Public Radio, where we try and recover from a crazy weekend filled with nerdy goodness and nuptials.
Ew.
I am Jay, and with me in the GPR studios this week is Kier.
If you're going to ask how I am, I'm fine, thanks. And over there, Haley. Haley, who just landed probably hours ago.
I just got home, pretty much.
Nice.
Well, this week we're gonna try and relax, milk the hangovers, you know, just try and recover, and share a special interview we did with Paul McGann on his birthday weekend at LI Who last November. But one thing we did want to do is talk about some of the minor news that came out in the Doctor Who world this week.
Little stuff. Boy, they really don't give you much when they're on a break. They really just slack around. Well, no, they decided to announce midweek, as of the week that we're recording this, that they were going to make a bit of an announcement. They made an announcement that an announcement was pending. That's like a teaser of a trailer of a preview that's coming. But the news was that we were finally going to know who Jenna Coleman's replacement as the Doctor's Companion was going to be. Oddly enough, they decided they were going to announce it during the halftime point in a football match. So, okay.
Yar.
Be that as it may, everybody tuned in. They set their calendars as best they could. For those of us here stateside, we fumbled to try and figure out the time shift again so that we could get it right.
Right.
And waited for Twitter to explode, which it did. Yep. And we had our introductions through a... how long did this little trailer run? How long is this little piece? About 2 minutes or so?
It's like, yeah, 2 minute, minute and a half, 2 minutes, something like that.
And we are introduced to Pearl Mackey, who will be playing a character named Bill. Now, Bill is already, in a minute and 45 seconds or so, shrouded in mystery. Because we don't know exactly who, obviously, or when she's from. So that seems to be one of the kind of the interesting points of discussion. Before we dive into that, though, I'm just kind of curious to get your reactions on her interplay with the Doctor in their little, running through corridors from a Dalek moment.
It was very interesting how they kind of played it to... You could have, at any moment, had Capaldi's Doctor just flip and, go completely ballistic on her, because you could tell, he's getting very irritated very quickly, but surprisingly he, held on to it very well and was really calm and helpful, and it seemed out of character. But for Bill, it was interesting how she was just very excited about the whole thing, and it didn't seem like she grasped the gravity of the situation. And that was the thing that the Doctor kept trying to get her to understand. She's like, okay, but what about this? But what about this? How about that part? And it was just, she seemed like a Doctor Who fan.
Mm-hmm. So Haley, what was your take on the introduction to Bill?
Well, and maybe I'm just seeing this cause I want to see it, but at the very end there, when they're turning to face the Dalek that's going to kill them, there's a little bit of a smile starting on her face. So I think we might be getting one of those companions that really loves the adventure traveling with the Doctor.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, Jay mentioned the energy levels or the enthusiasm levels and her willingness to kind of stay in the thick of it, maybe to the point that she doesn't recognize the danger that she's in or is a little bit more oblivious to that aspect of it. But she keeps asking the questions, so she wants to know. She's just too excited to listen to the details of the answer.
Who did we know like that?
I don't know. But there's a lot of previous companions going on in here. I kind of, when I first saw it, and I jumped out there on our Facebook page about it, that it kind of felt like a Rose Donna blend there, but without the... has the kind of the sarcasm, but without the edge of Donna. But there have actually been a number of people out there who have drawn Ace parallels.
Mm-hmm. I think that really comes primarily from the fact that it seems like Bill comes out of the 80s.
Yeah.
I mean, from the attire, especially the attire, mainly the attire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, acid wash, denim jacket. She's wearing a t-shirt that... oddly enough, happens to be the inner sleeve of Prince's Purple Rain album from 84.
Mm-hmm.
She's got kind of retro shoes. I guess there have already been people out there that are trying to find her sneakers. Because the first thing they did on Wednesday or so is they put a quick picture out there of the doctor's boots and a pair of these, you know, very retro-looking trainers just outside the TARDIS door. And that was their kind of their tip that the next companion was coming. But they, you know, people immediately started staring at these trainers, these sneakers, and trying to figure out, you know, what era they were from. They're apparently new, but they are in that style. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the likelihood is that she could be, you know, when he says we have to go back to the future, which, by the way, how many people did say, he said the thing? but yeah, so, and she grins at that, as well as the, you know, the Dalek attack thing. So, so she may not be of our time, or of contemporary time. So.
Right.
Well, and it's hard to say just based on the fashion, because elements of 80s fashion are kind of in right now. Mm-hmm. So she could just be a, you know, another contemporary companion like we've seen all through New Who. Yeah.
I just think it's interesting that they have kept very shtum about it since.
Well, of course they're going to. People are talking about the show.
It's, yeah, they've got like, about all 10 months or whatever of empty space for us to fill?
Yep. They don't have to do a thing except sit back and let people theorize like mad. Mm-hmm. So, but Capaldi's really impressed with her. Says all these, you know, glowing things about her, and she's, as far as recognition factor, we may not stateside be particularly familiar with her. She's done a couple of drama and soap series in the UK, but she's also done a considerable amount of stage work and even teaching acting classes and things. So she's got some well-established training behind her abilities. So
I will say, when this announcement came out, there were three names that were being thrown out primarily as contenders, and Pearl Mackey was one of them. And I'm just, because people love to see me eat my words later on, I'm going to go ahead and put this out here. This is the one I was least excited about. Mm. So going into the Christmas special or going into the new series, I'm pretty much going to be, I'm not going to judge her ahead of time. But I am going to be okay. I'm going to wait and see. I'm not excited about it. Okay. I'm going to need to be impressed. Mm.
Well, I think you're queued up for that based on the couple of clips of the soap series Doctors that I was able to track down. I know she's currently still completing a production run on stage of Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, which is a really, really impressive and rather particularly challenging show that's still up with a national theater. So I think, and based on some of the clips that I had seen, the versatility is certainly there. We saw from just this little piece that she's got the energy level necessary. She's got a decent rapport with Capaldi, getting established from the early stages. You know, I'm sure that showed itself in any kind of screen tests that they were doing. And I got to wonder in the screen test whether she actually got to read against Peter. Mm. Because just that opportunity in and of itself is worth the auditions, I suppose.
Yeah, that's true.
But follow her on Twitter and see what kind of information she's going to drop out there. It's at Pearly_Mack, M-A-C-K, and see what she's got to say about it. So, yeah, this is going to be a ton of fun. I think it's a, if it does carry as many of the components of very successful companion types in years past, both New Who and Classic Who, then you've got something that formulaically will do well. I personally, even though some people will say it was kind of the waning years for Classic Who by the time you get around to JNT's era and what he was doing with the professor and student kind of relationship, the scripts may not have been something that really left you stunned or chatting about it for weeks but the dynamic between the two was a lot of fun with what McCoy and Sophie Aldred had. So if you can capture anything close to that, I mean, Ace to this day is like a cult classic companion. So let's see if she can swing a bat.
Yep. So, all right, you guys ready to jump into that interview?
Yeah. This was a lot of fun, and we got a chance to chat with him. Even, I think we might have confused him at a couple of points, but we'll see. I mean, it was a great weekend. I mean, he always enjoys having his birthday with a bunch of dorks in Long Island. So, roll tape.
All right.
Well, Gallifrey Public Radio is sitting down once again this year. It has been a calendar year that has passed, and we are back in Long Island speaking with Mr. Paul McGann. Thank you so much for spending your birthday weekend with us once again.
Yeah, my big public birthday this year. It's happened a couple of times at Long Island. You know, it's generally around the same time in the middle of November. But I've never had such a public birthday as is scheduled for tomorrow. I'm being royally fated tomorrow.
A lot of glasses of red sent to your table, I'm sure. Well, we know that you've been speaking a lot this morning regarding your Big Finish Audio Productions, mm-hmm. and it's been an absolutely voracious schedule for what Nick and Jason have been putting out there. Both releases we've just recently gotten in the last couple mm-hmm. of months. We just finished listening to Doom Coalition, which I think you produced. You laid that down quite a while back.
In the last 18 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it gave you an opportunity to get back working again with Nicola Walker.
Yeah.
Now, as they decided this time around to pitch you against another rogue Time Lord, they created this character, the Eleven, and decided to give you this this mind game to work with. Do you feel at any point that Nick and Jason are just creating, scrambling to find new psychological foes to pit against your Doctor? They've gone through a half a dozen of them at least.
Well, another question, another way of thinking about it. I mean, I suppose, is there ever any end to the possibilities of these things? I mean, answer to your question, yes, because that's their job. You know, but they got to, you know, they need to find stories. They need to. Nick, of course, is a writer too, so you know, he often supplies a lot of this material. But I'm often and always amazed at the almost the kind of bottomless mine of this material that Doctor Who seems to be able to supply. You know, it's never ending.
Well, they have the unique opportunity to be able to combine not only something that is inherently science fiction, but yeah. they can infuse it with fantasy elements. They can go something yeah. that is a more traditional drama if they care.
That's right. You know, often we'll finish like a bunch of them, or we'll break for a few months, and as I'm leaving, David Richardson, the producer, has often said, have a little think, any particular era you'd like to go back to when we meet again, or sometimes any actresses you like to, you know, this happens. So you get a little bit of, you know, input, you know, and I might say, oh, I just saw that Hattie Morahan on stage at, you know, this is how it happens. You know, insofar as any, you know, I have any input at all, it's that, you know, glam rock. Yeah, that was my thing. You know, it's that sort of thing. That was my era, man.
Right.
Can we go back to then? You know, to Trident Studios in 1973. So that's how it happens.
Well, you mentioned being able to find other talents that you'd love to be able to share the booth with. We know that we've got in January coming around, they'll be releasing Diary of River Song. It allows our Eighth Doctor to at least share the storyline with yeah. River's character.
Yeah.
Now, did you actually share studio time with Alex, or is this something that you had to do in
segments?
Yeah,
thankfully. Okay. Because, of course, it's not necessary that we do. You know, you don't need to be in the same room to make radio, or even the same continent. But fortunately, yeah, we were there on the same day. Just one day, I worked with her. Which I was glad about, because I'd never met her. So that was thrilling. I don't know if we're going to get to do it again. I wish we could. It's Doctor Who, man. What am I saying? We can do anything we like.
Of course but, you can, yeah.
No, but yeah, we shared, if not a booth, a stage. We shared a story. I don't know if you've listened to it, but they're almost within earshot. It's great. It's tantalizing.
We didn't want to spoil anything because we haven't been released that particular piece. We'll get that in about a month and a half's time.
Yeah.
And we'll see.
Well, I won't spoil it for you.
We do also know, if we look far out on the calendar, because the gentlemen at Big Finish have been kind enough to let us know what's coming down the pike, but in November, a year from now, we'll be given the Time War project yeah. that has just wrapped up. And can you, without spoiling anything, obviously, you're sort of non-disclosures, with regard to that cast against the Night of the Doctor moment that represents in the Eighth chronology. Is this, where does this fit with regard to that moment?
Is it I knew you were going to ask me that question. And you know what? I couldn't begin to tell you. I'm not, I'm not messing here. I'm like, I've only got more confused about this in the last 2 years, even since we shot Night at the Doctor. When we made Night at the Doctor, it was because I was given a week's notice of what before we shot it. And I was never that well versed anyway in that time war thing. I was just, you know, this wasn't. It's not. I'm, you know, some kids around a PhD level, they know this stuff. I just didn't know it. And I'm still playing catch up. And even when we make these things, I'm going, hang on, Nick, stop. So, you know, he's filling in the gaps for me. I don't want to, I hope that's not disappointing. That even, you know, I'm in it, but I don't know what's going on sometimes. But that particular story and that sort of breach in the time, and like, these characters, I get the impression sometimes that even the producers are just flying by the seat of their pants a little bit. Really, I don't know where it's going. And I don't know that we need to know where it's going particularly. I sound like I'm flannering a little bit, but that's sincere. Even when we've done them, even on the way home from recording, I'm thinking, what did we just do? What was that about? What was it again? You know, and because we, when we record the big finishes, particularly they're quick. Sometimes you have a little potted history for 90 seconds from Nick, maybe in the booth if he's directing. But other than that, it's I sound a bit slack now. I sound like I should do my homework a little bit. But
you're seeing it from our perspective.
It's like
now.
I'm the same as you. It's like, where to begin with this thing? Where do you, you know? And I know that, like, the novels, they differ again. That goes off. That's another genre entirely. Or rather, right. You know, I remember reading an article by, why do I keep forgetting his name? Before Moffat.
Russell T.
You know, Russell T was talking about the books, you know, because there was this idea abroad that, you know, well, the books now, you know, they're not the same. And they shouldn't be sort of, you know, they're not canon or whatever it was. And Russell defended them, you know, because they're books. And he was saying, look, you know, it's just another genre. It's another. And I'm with him on that. It's all the same thing. But it's multifaceted, you know. The short answer is, I don't know where it's going.
We're all along for the ride.
I've never known where it's going.
And that's the exciting thing.
I don't even know which way we're facing. Never mind which way, where it's headed. I'm just enjoying it.
Absolutely. And as are we. So, well, they're giving us a signal for some time. So we'd like to thank you once again for joining us here this weekend. Good Happy birthday to you.
See you next year.
That was a lot of fun to re-listen to. I'd forgotten a lot of the stuff we'd discussed with him, but it's always a blast sitting down and talking to Paul McGann. He is terrific to sit down and converse with.
He is. He's always so casual, so how's your father? Kind of, you know, just everything just rolls off. Nothing seems to faze him, and he's seen everything. I mean, things and people being thrown at him and such, and it doesn't faze him in the least. And as the weekend went on, he just got more and more comfortable and more relaxed and just had a great time. So looking forward to Elihu 4, where he'll be back once again, already confirmed.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, I suppose we will be back next week with our next regular episode. So we will see you guys then.
Allons-y.
Bye.